Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. The Word of God says in Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering of the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me." May we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, the Bible tells us to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And Lord, today as we look at our lives, may we shine forth as a light, putting forth the word of Christ that others might see. And we give you praise, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. We've lost two of our, I call them great men of a church. I think all of you are great members of the church, but we've lost Brother Jim Good, a deacon, in the past weeks. A fine man of God, was always faithful to come even when he didn't feel like it. He was always here. He let his light shine. I will never forget it. It hasn't gone out. It still shines brightly. He fought a good fight. He kept the faith. Brother Andy Anderson passed away Friday at 3. Andy's one of these men that was saved here in 2007. And he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior at a late age in life. And yet, the time that you walked with Andy and talked with him, and we fellowshipped together several times, and he let his light shine. I never heard him say a bad thing about anybody in the church or out of the church. Every once in a while, if he might raise his old eyes a little bit at it, but he never said anything bad about anyone. And I thought, you know, that's the kind of life we ought to live. Live our lives without, the Bible says, disputing or murmuring. But before we can live without or live our lives like a light, we must receive the light into our heart. The Bible says we're living in darkness without Christ. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Bible says you're dead. You may be living, but you're dead spiritually. You don't have that life in you. You don't have a light in you. You live in darkness. You know not the truth. And the Bible says simply, "For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever," that means every one of us this morning, anyone here looking for Christ, the Bible says that he died for you. And you can have him come into your heart this morning. It says, "Whosoever shall call," that means if you just simply pray and say, "Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I don't have the light of Christ in my life, but I would like to have it." He said, if you'll ask him, he will come in. It's just that simple. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, that must be too simple to believe." But it's not. God made it a way that we could come to him. You know, we're all not geniuses. I'm sure not. But you know what? It was so simple that all I had to do is say, "Lord, I'm tired of living in the darkness. And I want to come into that marvelous light that you talk about in your word. I want to be a light shining in that darkness. And you know, I received Christ as my Lord and Savior simply by stepping out by faith and saying, here I am, Lord. I don't know nothing about the Bible. People tell me all the time, well, I need to know a lot about it before I can. No, you don't. All you have to believe and trust is Jesus Christ. He came, he died. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's just a simple, plain truth. That means everybody has missed the mark. We've fallen short of the glory of God. It also says the wages of that sin is death, that eternal separation from God forever. If you die without Christ, you're forever lost. You can't be saved after you die. You're forever lost. But with Jesus Christ, he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, folks, that's very easy. A gift is something you can receive. God gave his son. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything. He did it all. He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And all you have to do is come and say, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner, that you died for me, and I want to receive you into my heart. I accept that sacrifice that you made for me. He loves you. The Bible says God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That was me. If you believe that, you can have eternal life and receive Jesus Christ into your heart. And then you can become a light that shines before the world, before men. And they can see your good works. You know, you're not saved by good works. But because we love Christ, we do good things to help people, to love people. You live your life like Jesus would want you to live your life. You turn from the wickedness. You turn from the sin and start repentance is walking the other way. You change your mind about sin. You don't like it anymore. And you receive Christ and you walk towards Christ. And that light that you have in your life tells people that you love your Heavenly Father. Man, I tell him, I love him in my heart. And the Bible, just abounds in figures of speech that explain the Christian life and what it's all about. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning. If you have received Christ in your life, then let your light shine. Hey, let your light shine. Over in Philippians, we read it. It says in 15, ye shine as lights in the world. Now, that word lights means luminaries, like the moon and the sun and the stars. My youth director and I was talking about it this week. You know, the nearest star is 4-point-something light years away. Now, a light year is how fast, how you can travel at the speed of light in a year, how far. Well, that's a long ways. Since it's 671 million miles per hour traveling the speed of light, I tell you what, you don't dare roll down the window and stick out your face at that speed. You're talking about a facelift, you'd get it. But that's a long ways out there to the nearest star, and I think he told me there was something like 300 billion galaxies out there, and we can't even imagine how many stars there are out there. They can't be counted, but God knows each and every one of them. He put them there. That's how great a God we serve. We sing majesty. Man, I just felt cold bumps all over me and chills because I know that I serve a mighty, mighty God that loves me. And it's interesting to describe the Christian life as luminaries, as lights, like the sun and the moon and the stars. Over in Genesis 1:16, it says, God created the sun to rule over the day and the moon to rule over the night, and then he made the stars also. And then he said this, these heavenly bodies were intended to give light on the earth. Now, a star giving light on a darkened earth. Week before last, it was moonlight. We had a full moon, and I was out sitting in the open on the full moon, and you can just see everything out there. And I thought, how God lights the world with that reflection of the moon, and how you and I are like the stars. We ought to give light. We ought to be shining our light all over, letting people see the brightness of our lives. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Before he said that, he says, I am the light of the world. And then he says, you need to be like me. Shine your light. Let your light so shine. It says in Ephesians 5:8, ye were once in darkness, but now you've come out of that darkness into that marvelous light as children of God. And he says, walk, walk, walk as children of the light. And so we need to walk in a way that we give light, the light of Jesus Christ, to a lost and dying world. Now, here's the characteristics of light. One, light simply shines, doesn't it? That is a very simple statement. Light shines. It is the nature of light to shine. And Jesus says, as a Christian, your nature ought to be one that shines forth before men, anywhere we go, that they might see the light of God in your life and know you're a child of God because of the way you live, the way you shine. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but we ought to be shining lights wherever we go for the Father which is in heaven. Let our light so shine. Now, it also says in this passage of Scripture I read that there's some hindrances that keeps lights from shining. Now, what are they? Well, he gives some interesting things that hinder our lives from shining. He starts out by saying in verse 14, do all these things without, I like the way my old King James Bible says it, murmuring and disputing. It says here, without complaining and disputing, but I like the word murmuring better. Murmuring is a word that I just don't like it. I don't like that tone. You know, some folks are not happy unless they murmur. And God says, do all things without murmuring. Let me tell you what. Murmuring hurts the church more than anything else, I believe. You know, murmuring or disputing. And those two things will keep your light from shining. It says over in Matthew, a light should be set on a hill where it gives light to everybody. Don't put it under a bushel and hide it. Well, when you start murmuring, as the children of God did, they put their light out where nobody can see it. God says, don't do that. Let your light so shine. In the wilderness, they murmured against God, against Moses, and that murmuring was in the wilderness way was an inward sign of rebellion towards God himself. Let me tell you something. I learned a hard lesson real quick. When I was a kid, you didn't murmur. You know what murmuring is? When your mother or daddy tells you to do something and you walk away. Hum, 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 hum. My daddy would say, what'd you say? Nothing. He said, oh yeah, you did. Boy, he would light you up till you would shine forth. You didn't murmur. You didn't rebel against what he says. Now, I'm not against child abuse, but I'm for every once in a while lighting those children up, because let me tell you something. That's what God did. He said, you don't murmur against the Father. You pay a price when you do it. I learned real quick when Mama said something, it was just as authoritative as when Daddy said something. You obeyed your parents. It took me a long time to realize that I didn't sit in the back in church on Sunday morning, because a lot of the kids sat back there, and Daddy said, you're guilty by association. He pulled off that belt and wore me out, and he said, now, one of these days you're going to learn that if you associate on the front row, you won't have many people getting you in trouble. And it didn't take me about three or four of those experiences to learn. I was kind of hard-headed. I kept saying, Daddy, it's not me, it's them. He said, guilty by association. And I kept thinking, what is he talking about? But you know what? When we're in a church and somebody murmurs to us, and we don't try to correct that, we don't say, hey, just don't do that. You're guilty by association. If you don't put a stop to it, if you don't say, hey, that's not going to happen in our church. We don't do that kind of stuff. The Bible says we're to let our light so shine. You see, that's what we're supposed to do. Be like Jesus Christ. Don't murmur. Don't complain. The children of Israel were murmuring all the time. You read that Old Testament, boy, they were whining. They didn't have this. They didn't have that. God kept blessing them. They murmured, and it caused disputes amongst themselves, and they grumbled, and they griped, and on the inside, they become, you know, somebody said, what's on the inside will pop out on the outside. If you are a murmurer or a complainer, sooner or later, it's going to come out. Don't do that. God says, listen, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Don't be in the darkness, but shine forth as a light. That ought to be the characteristic of your Christian life. If you murmur, it's going to hinder your life. Don't join the ranks of the numbers who complain. Just be different. Now, what keeps your light from shining bright? It says, that ye may be blameless. What helps your light? That ye may be blameless and harmless. Let nothing be done in your Christian life, in your behavior, that would give any person some point to blame your life. That's what he says. Just don't do those kind of things in your Christian life. Let your light shine. The word harmless basically means sincerity in your heart. Let it be a genuine sincerity in your heart that you will live your life pleasing to God. I tell you what, nobody likes an old grouch, do they? We want to be around people that are positive. We want to be around people that are happy. We want to be around people that spread the good news instead of start bad news. Knowing that, he says, in your heart, your motives are pure. Then he says, without rebuke, that in the eyes of God, nothing can give God any reason to rebuke any area in your life. When he looks at your life, he'll say, that's my child. He's shining. He's shining today. Oh, folks, let's let our light shine. That's what Paul says here. Don't do things that are complaining and disputing, that your life might be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault. Then it says, not only that, light shares. Light shares. When light itself, there's two things are accomplished when you let your light. One, darkness is overcome. When you let your light so shine before men, you don't grumble and you don't gripe. Darkness is overcome. I said a little bit of it a while ago. You don't give God a reason to look at your life and be ashamed of it. But you look at your life and he's proud of you. You've done a good job. You've done a good work. Notice where light is intended to shine. in a crooked, boy, don't that hit us today? And perverse nation. Ron and I used to go to Florida quite a bit, and we liked St. Augustine, Florida. They have a lighthouse there. I always liked lighthouses. I thought one day I would just climb to the top of that thing, 360-something steps straight up, and about halfway I said, whew, I've had enough of this. Let's go back down. But you know, lighthouses are there for a purpose, aren't they? I never will forget the captain of a ship once came in to a lighthouse one night, and he said, he got a notice, captain of the ship, so-and-so, turn your ship so many degrees to the east. And he was a proud man. He says, I'm the captain of this ship. I don't take orders from some low lower than me. You turn your ship the other way. He says, captain, turn your ship so-and-so to avoid a crash. He said, I don't take orders from you. I said, you turn your ship. Text come back and says, I'm a lighthouse. Either you turn your ship or you're going to crash. It doesn't matter if you're a captain or not. You see, that's what we are. We need to dispel the darkness like a lighthouse. It shines bright. It's always shining bright. When trouble comes our way, we don't murmur or we don't dispute. We don't complain. We shine bright because we're God's children. And folks, that's what we need to do. That's the purpose of the Christian life, is to walk in a dark and crooked and perverse generation in which we see today, and not be like the crooked, perverse people, but let our light so shine that people might say, hey, that guy is different. He must be one of God's children. I don't mind being called a child of God. Folks, I'd rather be called a child of God any day than crooked and perverse. You know, some complain that they have to work with lost people. I used to work with some of the filthiest mouth, lostest people. They didn't have any use for a preacher at all. You know what? I shined as a light in a dark place. They knew that I was a Christian. They knew that my brother was a Christian. They knew that we were going to stand up for what was right. We weren't going to drink. We weren't going to party with them. You know, we were different. I worked with them. Some people complain, well, preacher, you know, I work with a bunch of lost people. Maybe that's why God put you there, so that you could be a light shining in the midst of that darkness. You see, Paul says, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. He's talking about people. He's talking about the kind of people that are in the world that are without Christ. Man, there's a lot of people in our world today without Christ. They're just about everywhere you go. Now, in some ways, we live in a pretty good world, I think. Scientifically, we live in a pretty good world. I was thinking the other day, somebody said, you know, man, I'm glad I live where we have electricity today. There's some parts of the world that don't have electricity still. We talk about the good old days. Well, you know what? I told them over in Kenya, we have a missionary over there. Over in Kenya, when you hit appendicitis, you die. There's just no cure over there yet. They don't know how to have surgery. I'm glad I live here in America. We live in a nice country. Technology, we have put about every kind of gadget you can find that, you know, today we have it. Man, I bought me a little microwave and took down to my cabin the other day. You know, it's hard to live without a microwave nowadays. Bluebell's too hard. I just zap it in there just a few seconds, and it's easier to dip. You think that's funny, but that's what I do. I don't like to push too hard to get it out. I've got to keep that elbow good to eat it. one of the guys, he zaps some cold meat to make a good sandwich out of. You know, we like that microwave. Some lady just beats cooking on a wood stove, let me tell you that. I like these new technology we have. Paul said, crooked and perverse nation. He's talking about morality. And spiritually, we do live in a dark society, folks. It's always been bad. But you know, the filth that we have today is catastrophic. It's at an all-time high. I was there, and I put a lock on the door the other day, the first time we've had a lock on our door in probably 20 years. Our house stayed open all time. Nobody stole anything. And that's all right. I'm glad they didn't, but I decided I better put a lock on it because, you know, we live in a crooked generation. Sooner or later, someone would break in, and they may break in still now since I put a lock on it. But you know what? Back years ago, I was raised in the 60s. We lived on Tough Street, they call it, out in the country. It was people there, but we never locked a door. We always left our house open. When we went on vacation, it was always open. Nobody stole anything because they were a different society than they are today. The good old days, yes, I do miss some of that, where you don't have to worry about your children being molested. You know, I was telling one of them, I used to walk this highway when I was just a little first grader. I'd walk to school sometimes and walk home, and that was 2 miles down a road. Nobody bothered us. You just didn't do things like that. But that Bible says, now there's a crooked and perverse, means distorted generation. And we need to be a light that shines and a light that shares. And then we need to be a light that sacrifices. Paul uses the Old Testament language when he says, being poured out in verse 17 as a drink offering. You know, Paul said, if I be offered up, a drink offering was poured out upon the sacrifice, and when those liquids hit the flames, it caused a smoke to rise. If light, he says, is going to shine, then the light has to sacrifice. You see, when we burnt old lamps. I don't know if you have old coal oil lamps. I still have quite a few at the house. They have a wick and they stick down in the coal oil. And every once in a while you have to trim that old wick so it'll burn without smoking so bad. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Well, the wick is fueled by the oil. And the wick is finally burned up. The same is true in the Christian life. There is a price to pay to live the Christian life. It's not an easy life. Somebody will tell you, oh, you Christians got it made. Yeah, we do have it made. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. My Lord says, I have eternal life. Since I trusted Jesus Christ, I have eternal life. Nothing can take that away from me. But down here, I have to sacrifice. Down here, I'll have to suffer. You will too if you live the Christian life. That's all right. I'd rather be burned up for the Lord than burned up for eternity with the devil. You see? Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What a great light John the Baptist was. And yet he sacrificed. He died for the cause of Christ. Folks, there's nothing wrong with dying for the cause of Christ. You see, he was burning a light. He was a sacrifice. Sunday school teachers, we've got some of the best Sunday school teachers, Bible teachers, whatever you want to call them, you'll ever have. But let me tell you something, they have to sacrifice. They have to study that lesson. If they don't study that lesson, it will show. Amen. Some of you will work and work with our young people, and I just love to see so many kids come up here. They're back there right now working with our children. They have to give up a lot to do that. You see, I heard Brother Teddy said the choir was working. They're getting ready. They've been working, and it never ceases to amaze me. They work from August to Christmas for that choir special, the Living Christmas Tree. Man, I tell you, that's a long time. They're dedicated to it. They have to sacrifice some time to practice. These girls, they just didn't happen to play this music without any mistakes, I would say. I couldn't hear any. You know what? They were up here this week practicing, you see. It takes sacrifice. There's a price to pay. There's no blessings unless you bleed. Amen. When the Bible speaks of shining, a star shining at night, it's talking about a star that's willing to lose its light to shine in a dark world. Paul says, "For the same cause also do ye rejoice with me." The joy comes from shining, folks. Our joy comes from shining. You know, this church is filled with people that have learned this lesson. It's a joy to serve. We've got just the instance, Ms. Barber came in Sunday school a while ago and asked for food for the two families this week. Hey, that's a lot of food. But we have people that do that. You will do that without grumbling and complaining, because it's a ministry. It's a ministry to one of our members that lost their spouse. And you know that this church would do the same for you if you're in that situation. This week, or the past weeks, we have things that need to be done around the church. Somebody comes and does them without grumbling or complaining. You see, that's what a church does. That's what people do with Christ in their heart. They let their light so shine. That's exactly what God did. He sent His only begotten Son to go to Calvary. He knew He was going to die. But that was the only way that you and I could live, is for His Son to shed His blood for us. And on the cross, He finished that plan of salvation. And then He was in the ground 3 days, and then He went back home. He arose. And you know what? The Bible says He will come again. I'm looking for Him at any moment. This world is getting darker and dark. He says, in the day that you think not, that's when I'm going to come. And boy, when He calls my name, I'm tuned in. I'm going to hear my name called. I'm going to rise up to meet Him in the air and forever be with the Lord. Now, you have the same opportunity today. If you're not saved, you can come. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to join this church. We're not talking about joining the church. You know, that's the least of my worries. I just want to see you saved. I want to know that when you die, you're going to heaven instead of hell. You see? And the Bible says there's only one or two places. You cannot get around that. You either go into heaven or you go into hell. You don't have to go. God doesn't send anybody. He says, I've sent my Son to die for you. All you have to do is by faith receive me, and I will give you eternal life. You repent of your sins and you start living for Him. Yeah, I'd love you to join the church. If you want to come to this church, I think it's the greatest church under heaven. Not just because I'm pastor, because all of these people you see around, they love one another. And they let their light so shine. And if you're not letting your light so shine, you need to come to the altar and just kneel and say, Lord, I put a bushel over my light this week, and I want to remove it. I confess it. I'm going to get up and go back to my seat, and I'm going to live for You. He says, if you will confess, he will forgive. Isn't that great? We got a loving God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this. These people that have come, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray this morning that they'll come. Lord, whatever decision we need to make, let us make that decision today. We give you praise and honor and glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.